Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, black a sleeve on me.
What a genius I am. Last Thursday when I played Come Go With Me by the Dell Vikings, and then we broke into the Sombrero Saturday music. It was a precursor to what was done at the Super Bowl by Coca-Cola. Now, I have nothing against all the languages spoken on the earth. I just prefer English spoken in America. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to talk about these topics today, amongst others. The Super Bowl multicultural, multilingual Coca-Cola ad. The letter from Dylan Farrow to the New York Times about Woody Allen's alleged molestation of her when she was a little girl, and how big shots in Hollywood who talked the talk about harassment and bullying, etc., have said nothing in her defense because Woody Allen is so important. We're going to talk about one of my favorite actors, by the way, of all time, Philip Seymour Hoffman. One of the finest actors in our life died of a heroin overdose. Sad. But I'm going to tell you something. One of the movies he was in called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, which is one of the great American films starring Ethan Hawke of course, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Albert Finney, directed by Sidney Lumet before he died a couple of years ago. I watched the movie about 10 times in 1 year. It's so perfectly made. In that movie, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who died of a heroin overdose over the weekend in his Greenwich Village pad, was seen as a drug-addicted real estate broker who goes to an apartment, a high-rise apartment in Manhattan, elegant, upscale apartment, where a guy who runs the shooting pad shoots him up with heroin. It looked too real to me. When he lays there on the bed, takes his suit off in the middle of a workday, goes upstairs and gets injected in this upscale apartment. I had never seen anything like that. I think he was sending a message out to the world, like, please help me. Talk about that. And then other things on the Savage Nation. Many, many other things, including, did you know this? Did you know that for many years I was a botanist and plant collector in the South Pacific? I was a scholar who collected plants, folk plants, healing. And my master's thesis before I got my PhD was called Ethnomedicine in Tonga. You say, well, what does that have to do with any of this? I'm driving in a car. I'm on a bridge. What is this guy talking about? What do I care about what he did in 1971? Well, there's a reason for it, so bear with me. It's all related to politics. Everything is political in America today. Maybe it's always been political. Maybe the first caveman who bashed the other caveman over the head with a stick did it for political reasons. I don't really know. But everything is political. So I because I'm being unfairly attacked by Lilliputians who are making things up about my past, I said, you know what? I'm very proud of my past. I've done amazing things before I was in radio, unlike those who did nothing before they were in radio to speak of. I went back and I searched for what I had done before I was in radio. And back in 1971, my master's thesis was published by a journal put out by Harvard University. It was entitled Ethnomedicine in Tonga. But listen to me carefully. So it was published, and then off-prints were made, a 28-page off-print from the journal article. Apparently, they're for sale on the Internet. 1971, Michael Savage, take a guess what this off-print is worth today, $1,250. It says 8VO stapled, lettered wrappers, 28 pages, an off-print from Economic Botany, a smidgen soiled and slightly bunched at bottom, spine edge inscribed, March 16th, 1974, for Erwin Kruger from me, rare, bookseller inventory number, blah, blah, blah. One copy is now selling for $1,250. Now, I'm putting this in context. There's a former government lawyer who's now attacking the government as though he never worked for a government, who is fundamentally feeding a schoolyard bully named Hannity lies, trying to desecrate and defame my family name and my great work. I'm not going to stand for it. Let them attack my work on the radio today. Let them say I'm not talented. Let them say that I don't know what I'm talking about. Let them find a flaw in anything that I say. But instead, they attack what they cannot attack, which is my sterling reputation. And I'm going to defend it, because if I'm not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? And you know what really sickens me? Schoolyard bullies are the worst form of cowards in America. And here we have people, so-called conservatives, using the smear tactics of the communist left. These lies that they're putting out about me were originally put on the internet by Media Matters, a George Soros front. And take a guess who's now using them. That fraudulent government lawyer mouthpiece for Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity, that uneducated schoolyard bully, is using lies put out by George Soros' Media Matters against yours truly. Now, if that's not enough of an indictment of who they really are, I don't know what else I can say. Just remember this. Just remember this. I have a body of work that's recognized around the world for my scientific efforts. And that's it. I'm not going to say much more about it. And now I want to go back to the Super Bowl ad, because I got that off my chest. It got me very angry over the weekend. I went into my archives. I went into my journals. I went into my scientific papers. And I said, wait a minute, what are they trying to do, smear what I've created? This is something the Soviets did to people they didn't like. And he poses as, let freedom ring? Shame on you, Sean. Shame on you, Sean. If you had half a brain, you would understand you've defamed yourself, not me. Is what I thought to myself. And it just shows you how far this country has fallen. That people can pose as freedom-loving conservatives and use all the tactics of the communist left, even the lies of the communist left, against a competitor in radio or in the media. What does that tell you about the government media complex? What does it tell you that you don't already know? You want to talk about that? You can. I'll take your calls on it. I'll be glad to take your calls on that. Now I want to talk about the Woody Allen letter, the Super Bowl Coca-Cola ad. In case you haven't heard it, let's play the Super Bowl song from yesterday on the Savage Nation. I wanted to smash the TV in with a brick. Whoever did this at Coca-Cola should be fired, deported. It got worse. It wasn't enough that it was in English. Now they had to put in five other languages. Okay, it's enough already. Let me explain why I got mad. It shows the patriotic song. It opens with a pickup truck in the Midwest with obviously an American driving around, and it starts with America the Beautiful, and it was very touching. All of a sudden, eight languages, different ethnicities. The ad also shows two dads roller skating with their daughter. This was the first Super Bowl ad to feature a gay family, according to GLAAD, a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender media advocacy organization. Now, the inclusion of different languages sparked comments on Coca-Cola's Facebook page, calling the ad a disgrace and unpatriotic. People said, speak English or go home. Another one said, screwed up a beautiful song. No Coca-Cola for my family. Twitter also erupted with a barrage of criticism of the Coca-Cola ad. But many praised Coca-Cola for reflecting the country's diversity. Let me explain why this is not diversity. If you were to take a Coca-Cola ad in China and start to play it in, let us say, Mandarin in China to sell Coca-Cola to the people in China, and suddenly break into English for the Chinese national anthem, Tagalog, Arabic, you name it, the Chinese would burn the theater down. If you were to do this in Russia, if you were to do this in France, if you were to do this in any nation with a sense of its own history and destiny, the people would riot. They wouldn't tolerate it. But here, because we've been deballed and debased for so long by the illegitimate left, people didn't even realize what was going on during that Super Bowl. It got me sick. Now, remember what I just said to you. I am an immigrant son. I respect cultures and languages around the world. But I'm living in America. I'm an American. And I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired, and this has gone too far. Stop debasing our most fundamental institutions. Am I wrong or am I right? Do you agree or disagree? The phone number is real simple, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. That's topic number one. Topic number one. Topic number one. KSFO Jane, you're the first up on the Savage Nation from San Francisco. What's on your mind, Jane?
Michael, I wanted to throw something through the TV, too, and I can't believe everybody should be talking about that this morning. They had a woman in a headscarf who wants to live under Sharia law, obviously, singing America the Beautiful.
I have no comment other than the multinational corporations are stepping on our sovereignty, and Coca-Cola is right now public enemy number one.
Me too, and the same people who are really, really running the government and have a very, very serious agenda are running the corporations now. I was staggered.
That's right. This is what America is seeing, and this is what America is saying. How dare they desecrate our Super Bowl with this multicultural injection? Let's put it for the liberals who have no brains because they've been pot-addled so long and have been reading the complete works of George Soros for so long. They don't even understand what I'm saying. They say, what's wrong with hearing it in other languages? After all, aren't we a melting pot? The emphasis is on the word melting, isn't it, Jane?
No,
the emphasis is on the word melting. They're supposed to melt and become part of America. We're not supposed to become part of Arabia. We're not supposed to become part of communist China, are we? We're not supposed to become part of the New World Order. They're supposed to melt and become part of this nation. And I, for one, was outraged by that Super Bowl ad, and I don't think this is a false outrage. I don't think this is a tempest in a teapot. I don't think this is just an attempt to get your attention and ratings. I absolutely feel 100% that this was wrong. 100% wrong. For them to take the opening of the Coca-Cola ad at the Super Bowl and show a guy, white man, sorry to say it, I almost whispered it. I had to whisper a white man in a truck, pickup truck on a farm. America the Beautiful, it was very stirring. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're being slapped across the head with all of the worst propaganda of the academic left. I am outraged. How do you feel about this? Am I wrong or am I right in my outrage? Jane, thank you for calling from KSFO. 855-400-7282. That's one topic. There are others. Let's go to the great WLS in Chicago. You rarely hear from that. It's one of the powerhouse stations in the world, five-state station. MJ in Chicago, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm just calling because I'm getting sick and tired of all these other talk show hosts attacking you. Our country is in serious trouble right now. We got more important issues to talk about. And just remember, the cream always rises to the top, my mother always told me. And you are a great host.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with you. But I tell you, when I went back and looked into the archives and I found out that a publication of mine from 1971, it's only 28 pages long, is selling for $1,250. And remember, it's a scientific paper that I published. It was published by Harvard University, by the way, is selling for $1,250. I have to rest my case. What exactly are they attacking? The fact that they were what? Putting up wallboard in 1971? Suing people in open court in 1971? Trying to steal money out of their pockets as lawyers? And now pretending to be great freedom-loving conservatives? It's just disgusting to see them try to smear my family name. I won't stand for it. I have a wife and I have two children and a grandchild. And I'm not going to let these low-life frauds like Hannity and that fraudulent lawyer smear my name. They're not going to get away with it. That's how I feel about it. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Your peace in the
So that's what your grandfather died for. That's what the veteran cemeteries are filled for. They're filled with the veterans who fought for America's borders, language, and culture. And take a look at what these multicultural slime are doing to our nation. In case you missed it, a cute ad was there, aired during the Super Bowl. Some of the most expensive ads in the world. Lots of real Americans singing America the Beautiful in English, and then Spanish, Tagalog, Arabic, and Hindi. Now, we know a lot of people come to America from different countries, but this is supposed to be a melting pot where you become an American. This is not supposed to be you come here and tell me to live your way, your life. If you want me to become like you in Arabia, then stay where you came from. I'm not going to follow Sharia law, and I'm not going to let you impose it on me. And if you're going to let these multinational corporations weaken you, you're going to wind up in a headscarf, you idiot women. Do you have any idea what they're doing to your children in the schools? Okay, I made my point. Vincent on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael Savage, it is an honor. It is an honor, sir. I bow to you. I tell you what, I love everything you say. I go all the way back to when your mother used to be on the show with you. My condolences to her. And my funniest memory is when you told the story about the monkey. Remember, you were a little kid and the guy had a monkey.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you found me on WABC, Vincent. Keep on listening. Tell your friends about it. Let's go to another caller right on WABC in New York. Chris, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Sir, I just want to let you know, you were unequivocally spot on with your outrage regarding the Coca-Cola ad. I got sick to my stomach when I watched it also, and, you know, just things that went through my head. The last time I checked, we speak English in this country.
Thank you. That's right. And when you go for a welfare check, the check comes printed with some English on the check, doesn't it?
Well, thank you.
Do you know that in San Francisco, the degenerate politicians offer the ballot in 16 languages? That's the only way they can keep getting reelected. 16 languages, and most of the people are not here legally. That is how we have a left-wing fanatic running the city. That's why we wind up with a left-wing one-party system in California. Thank you, Coca-Cola. But heck no, we won't go.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Pigman by Pink Floyd. Pigman by Pink Floyd. Pigman by Pink Floyd. Big story of the day, apparently, is the disgrace of the Coca-Cola Super Bowl ad, which is drawing outrage throughout America. If you haven't seen it and you haven't heard it, you will understand why there's outrage. And for those of you who don't understand the context, if Coca-Cola were running such an ad in Mandarin, for example, in China, do you think they'd have the audacity to cut in from the Chinese national anthem in Mandarin to English and then Tagalog and then Arabic? They would be thrown out of the country. The Chinese people wouldn't tolerate it. Not because they're xenophobic, it's because they love their country. See, the liberals have twisted everything. So in other words, if you love your country, they call you a xenophobe or a nativist. If you hate your country, then they call you a progressive. They've twisted all of the rhetoric. The commercial upset me deeply. Never mind the game itself. You know, I said I wouldn't watch it, but of course I did. I cooked and watched it. How could I not? I mean, after all, I was afraid the NSA would spy on my viewing habits and find that I wasn't watching it, and the next thing I know, there'd be a knock on the door and a black car outside. I figure, look, if you don't watch the Super Bowl, you're probably some kind of subversive, even though I'm not a sports watcher. I have to admire the phenomenal agility of these people. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I understand that. It's a great distraction. I love telling you. I mean, I love extreme talent in any field. Any field, you name the field, I love extreme talent. Whether it be an opera singer, an actor, sports figure, talk radio host, you know how to throw that in. There are people in leagues of their own. And so it's an enjoyable watching. The game was a rout. We know that. But then the ad? And then the band in the middle? What a bunch of losers. I don't even know who they were. I'm supposed to know them. The same thing since Mick Jagger already with the shoulders and the pants hanging down. I'm supposed to be excited because they have tattoos on their arms. You know, fake tough guys. Fake prisoners. You know, go to a real prison and see if the real prisoners are afraid of those guys on the stage with the guitars and the fake tattoos. Everything's like a nightmare, like a hall of mirrors. The whole country's a hall of mirrors. Okay, whatever. You know what's not a hall of mirrors? I'm going to calm down now. It's Monday. I got to slow down. If you want to call about the Coca-Cola travesty, go ahead. We're giving out free gifts worth $50 all week from Shari's Berries, period. They're an advertiser, but they're amazing. The best callers are going to randomly get a free gift, $50 worth of free Shari's Berries just for listening to this show. And you're going to sweep your Valentine's off their feet with this to berries.com, and you click on my name, Savage, with the microphone. I don't even eat chocolate, to be honest with you. I avoid it, as you know. But they're an advertiser. I figured out how to try it. I was addicted immediately. I never ate anything as delicious, as frightening. Anyway, we're going to give it out for free all week. All week long. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. KSFO Petri, you're on the program. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I'm just as outrageous about this insane Coca-Cola commercial. And I'm not going to drink Coca-Cola anymore. But that company makes more than just Coca-Cola, so we got to add up a lot of soft drinks. But it's not good for you anyway. But, okay, let's roll back in our minds and hold back the outrage and think about what languages they chose. And why do they choose those languages? How come they didn't pick German, for instance, some other European language?
Because Obama does not permit, to any extent, does not permit European immigrants into this country. They have an affirmative action list on which immigrants are acceptable to the new Obama administration, and they're not Europeans. They do not want any more Europeans in this country. A few trickle in here and there, but basically they do not want the makeup of the nation as it is to remain very much longer. There's been a war on the heterosexual, straight, Christian, Caucasian male ever since Bill Clinton took office, if not before. But it started with real fervor under Bill Clinton and his feminist cabinet.
This year is starting out awfully crazy. I mean, those Grammy Awards where they had the gay wedding all over TV, that was one. Now this. How much more are they going to slap us in the face with this?
How much more are people going to just sit and take it instead of doing what they can do? They have the power of the purse. You see, you don't understand how much power you have. When you listen to this show, I have sponsors, so you buy their products. You watch that, you don't buy their product. That's all. The individual consumer has all the power in this country. That's all the people care about. It's that simple. 855-407-2282. 855-407-2282. And let me finish it up for those of you who are confusing what I'm saying with reality. My grandmother never spoke a word of English in the house. She never learned it. She couldn't. It was too hard a language for her. She spoke Russian to me when I was a little boy. I didn't understand much of it. Sometimes I dream in Russian. But she never spoke English. It was too difficult a language for her. She was very old at the time that she came here. But when she went outside, she went with someone who could speak English for her. She didn't go out and expect that they would speak Russian to her at the post office. When she went and voted, she didn't expect they'd give her a ballot in Russian. You get the picture? She turned on the radio. She didn't expect an ad to be sung in Russian to her. She came here with my grandfather, with the children 7 years later when he saved enough money, to make a better life for themselves, to become an American. That's what the melting pot meant. That's what I learned when I was a kid. America is a land of immigrants, and it is a melting pot. Emphasis on the word melting. They melt, not us. They don't melt the pot. They don't melt the pot on the way. You know, you want to keep your customs? Keep your customs, but don't impose them on me. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, used to be a saying. Maybe we ought to have a new bumper sticker. When in America, do as Americans do. Maybe then we can get the country back if someone had the barbs on the berries. I once gave this analogy 20 years ago, 18 years ago in radio. Everyone loved it. I said, do you know that there's not a living organism on the planet that does not have defense mechanisms? Even a strawberry. By the way, speaking of berries, if you analyze a strawberry under a magnifying glass, what do you see on the edge of a straw, on the perimeter of a strawberry? Little tiny barbs. Why? Well, they're evolutionary defense. It was to keep insects from eating the soft flesh of the strawberry. So when you have a nation and you have borders, the border is supposed to be the band that protects the nation from invaders. That's why the Chinese built the Great Wall of China, Schmendrick, to keep out the Mongol hordes from China, in case you don't know your history. Oh, that was then? Yeah. Tell me about immigration in China right now. Tell me how many people they allow in from, let's say, Arabia or Africa into China. Maybe none. But the fact of the matter is, that's what the protection was. Borders are the equivalent of our barbs on the berries. But when the men were deballed in this country by the radical feminist left for the last 50 years in our schools, where if a man even says he loves America, he's looked down upon? What kind of... we got to come back from this. I'm sick and tired of saying what's wrong. You have to come back from it by being as outspoken as I am. That's it. It's that simple. There's nothing to do. Just say enough is enough. Shut up. It's America. Go home. I don't want to hear your rubbish anymore. Say it in the post office. Say it in the supermarket. Say it in the street. Say it at the school board. Who's going to stop you? That's all it takes is speak out. Do it in the supermarket. Do it at the post office if someone says something you don't like. Stop being defeated. Stop walking around like you got no country and you got no heart and soul. Stand up to this. There are more of you than there are them. And they're trying to destroy you in your own nation. It's as I see the country that way. There's no nation on earth that doesn't try to defend its own integrity, its own sovereignty, if you want to put it in those terms. Even a humble strawberry has small barbs on the berries. Where are the barbs on our berries? Where'd they go? Let me give an example. Police. Police in our cities. They had a wonderful stop and frisk law in New York, which cut the crime and homicide by 30, 40, 50%. What happened? The communists took over New York. The communist lawyers started screaming it was racist. You can't stop minorities and take guns away from them. You can only take the guns away from them after they shoot somebody. So the cops said, okay, what am I supposed to do? And they put a monitor in New York. You know where this is going? Oakland, California has a monitor who watched the police in Oakland, California. The police were doing their job in Oakland by busting up gangs and preventing them from committing crimes before they committed them. So what the illegitimate left do, and I think the left works, by the way, with the criminal element. I'm starting to believe that there's not such a disconnect. I think they're fronts for the crime lords. If I were with the FBI, I'd look for a connection between the loudest leftists and criminal enterprises. Because it doesn't make sense. Why do you want to constrain the police who are doing their job? I ask myself over and over again. It doesn't make sense, does it? Unless you want crime to rise, which it has done in Oakland, California, which it will do in New York City under de Blasio, the Sandinista loving new mayor. So you deball the barbs. You take the barbs off the berries. The police, you tell them they can't do their job or they're going to lose their job. So what do you think the police are going to do? It's the toughest job in the United States of America is being a policeman. The hardest job on earth. And by the way, do you know who the monitor is, the federal monitor who oversees the police of Oakland, California? Many of you don't know what I'm about to say, but those of you who live in the San Francisco Bay Area will be shocked. Your heart will drop when I tell you. Felton Henderson. Do you know who that man is? That man was the same man who came from the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberty Union. He came from the Anti-Christian Liberty Union, the ACLU. And he was made into a federal judge by the Anti-Christian Liberty Union and their cronies in the government under Bill Clinton. We voted in California many years ago for Prop 187 to stop giving free education and free hospitalization and medication to illegal aliens. It won by a vast majority. Even Democrats wanted it to pass. This single anti-American judge, Felton Henderson, with the stroke of a pen, stole our democracy from us. Now they put the same stooge to oversee the police in the city of Oakland, California. So if a cop does his job, this left-wing fanatic judge, Felton Henderson, can have the cop arrested or busted or thrown out or his pension seized. Tell me which side Felton Henderson is on. Now you understand what's going on in your country. It's riddled like with boll weevils from top to bottom. 855-407-282. We're going to focus on the Coca-Cola ad. I haven't yet gotten to the accusations against my unfavorite film director, Woody Allen, by the open letter from Dylan Farrow. It's a shocking letter, by the way. I mean, I read it. My hair stood up. I thought I've seen everything. And she wrote this to Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times. I was shocked that Kristof had the guts to publish it. Good for him. But she accuses some very, very big, loudmouth, left-wing actresses of not coming to her aid all these years. And she says, what if it had been your child, Kate Blanchett, or Louis C.K., Alec Baldwin? What if it had been you, Emma Stone, or you, Scarlett Johansson? You knew me when I was a little girl, Diane Keaton. Have you forgotten me? Woody Allen is a living testament to the way our society fails the survivors of sexual assault and abuse. So imagine your seven-year-old daughter being led into an attic by Woody Allen. Imagine she spends a lifetime stricken with nausea at the mention of his name. Imagine a world that celebrates her tormentor. Are you imagining that? Now, what's your favorite Woody Allen movie, she wrote, after describing what he did to her in that attic when she was a little girl and defenseless? Now, you could say, well, it's all lies, and you could take Woody Allen's side. I wasn't there. He told me to lie on my stomach, and then he did this and that. I'm not going to read it. Woody Allen says it's all a lie, according to his spokesmouth. Now, the question is this. If a seven-year-old girl today accuses anybody in her immediate surroundings of having done this, that man's life is over. It's ruined. Any little girl, all she has to do is make an accusation, that man's life is over, which is why people are afraid to become coaches. They're afraid to do anything with children today because of the radical left. This is all part of the plot. Didn't happen by accident. The bourgeois family was a target of the radical left. So what you do is you go after every element of family, and then you take the natural protective instincts of a man, and you make certain that those instincts are thwarted by threatening to destroy that man if he comes to the aid of a little child. Do you know that if a man is walking down the street in, let's say, a big city today, and he sees a little girl crying alone, sitting there crying and bruised, the instinct of the man is to protect that child and go over and pick her up and say, honey, what happened? You know the average man would walk by now because of the feminist assault upon manhood, because of the legal assault upon manhood, because of the left-wing assault upon the family. Do you understand how it all goes together? I hope I've helped you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, when I was younger, I used to hang out a lot at the museum in search of a meaningful social relationship. I used to look for girls at the museum. And I saw on the wall once a nude by Rubens, but a real succulent nude. A naked huntress stabbing to death a warthog.
There's Woody Allen. Sounds funny to you, right? Well, he is a funny guy. He's a very talented director, a total genius. I mean, if you like step and fetch it humor amongst Jewish people, he's the best. 855-400-7282. Let's take the call on a bigger topic, which is America the Beautiful, sung in Spanish, Tagalog, Hindi, and Arabic at the Coca-Cola break at the Super Bowl. Doug in Connecticut on WILK. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mr. Savage, I have a comment and a question. Just on the commercial itself, I don't think it's anything other than global commercialism with a sport that's being branded about globally, and that commercial was in fact seen in an international broadcast of the Super Bowl, and I don't think much more of it other than that.
Well, hold on. Let's stop for a minute then. Why do you think so many millions of Americans are outraged? Can they all be xenophobic?
I think that there's an element of xenophobia. I also think that...
I see. So now, let me ask you something, since you're such a multiculturalist. If Coca-Cola were to play such an ad in an Arabic nation, do you think that they would play it in English, Spanish, Tagalog, and Hindi as well?
Do you believe that America...
Well, don't play rabbi with me. Answer the question.
I'm sorry. I don't agree with the premise of the question.
Why not? Because you can't answer it, because you know I'm right. You lost the chess game before it began. The fact of the matter is, you know and I know that no other nation on earth would be as tolerant of this kind of assault upon its dignity and integrity. I don't know why you're so multicultural, Doug. You must have been brainwashed from an early age into hating your own country. Doug, you have no respect for America and the language of the land? What's wrong with you?
Well, sir, let me...
Stand up for your country. Why don't you stand up for your country instead of the almighty dollar? Why don't you put your nation above the greenback?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
You have all these people out of work in America or at low-paying jobs, and now you're going to bring in a flood of illegal aliens who are going to compete with them for those jobs? It's insanity. It's nothing but greed. It's to drive the price of wages down. It's a wage-price spiral. It's aimed strictly at undercutting the American labor force with lower wages.
Michael Savage, a host like no other. The Savage Nation. Weekdays, noon till 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh,
welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look, I had 3, 4, 5 topics to go with. The open letter from Dylan Farrow to Woody Allen, Woody Allen's denial. The Super Bowl Coca-Cola ad in many languages offended a lot of Americans, and they can't all be xenophobic. Perhaps they love their nation. Perhaps they love America. Why must you turn every patriotic emotion or sentiment into something negative? It just shows you how far you've become, how far you've been brainwashed. Have you no sense that a nation has its own language, its own culture, its own borders? And yet you have people calling, say, it's fine to have seen the Coca-Cola ad in many languages. No, it's not fine. Can you imagine if in Japan, at one of the national, let us say sumo wrestling, which is the national sport, a Coca-Cola ran an ad for Coca-Cola, and it starts with a typical Japanese family singing the Japanese national anthem, and then it breaks into Hindi, Korean, Mandarin, and Arabic. The Chinese would burn the factory down. The Japanese would burn the factory down. It goes for every nation on earth, but not this nation, because many of you don't understand that you've been subject to brainwashing for decades now, where any sentiment that is, that even as a scintilla of patriotism is seen as frightening to you, you check yourself. The minute you want to love the flag, you think you're a Nazi for saluting the American flag. That's why you don't have one in front of your house on July 4th. You're ashamed of your own flag. Now you're ashamed of your own language, your own nation, your own borders, and your own culture. Well, you have to understand that millions of us are not. And that's why I'm telling you it's worth talking about. Were you as offended as I was by the Coca-Cola ad during the Super Bowl? If you haven't heard it, let's hear now clip one. Amazing what we'll tolerate. How much can you take of this? How much more can you take of this assault upon our borders, language, and culture until you say, enough is enough, stop it. Just stop it. I'm not buying your product. I'm selling the stock. I've had enough. Just end it. You have the power. You don't have to write a letter. You don't have to write an email. You can just stop buying the product of any corporation that offends you. They've done it to me for years. How come the left does it to people like me, and those of you who have all of this power don't understand what power you actually have? You have the power to support my sponsors and to reject those who offend you. That's the ultimate freedom, and when you think about it, no one will even know you did it. That's the beauty of it. Or you could send them an email and say, I'm not buying your product because maybe they'll get the message, and the ad agency will be fired for taking this this outrageous attack upon our sovereignty in such a manner. Now, many of you say, oh, come on, you're overreacting, and it's fine, we're a polyglot nation and a melting pot. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. The emphasis on the word melting, not pot. As an immigrant son, I was taught that it is a melting pot. I asked my mother what that meant. She said, people come from all over the world with their own languages and culture, and they become Americans. That's what I was told as a little boy. It doesn't mean that my grandmother didn't speak Russian in the house. She did. It didn't mean that we didn't have our own religious religion, which we practiced. You can keep your own religion and your own culture, your own language. But when you go out into the street and you go out to vote, do you expect the ballot to be in 16 languages? It is in San Francisco. That's how they keep electing corrupt left-wing politicians in San Francisco, because the other people wouldn't vote for them over and over again. They're too smart. They know what they're doing. But if you're an illegal immigrant who doesn't even speak English, how could you know how corrupt San Francisco is? How could you know what the pensions are like? How could you know what the corruption is in the bridge projects? How could you know any of that if all you're doing is getting free handouts? 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. That's one topic, and I didn't get warm up on the Woody Allen story. I didn't even warm up on the... well, it's a minor story, the actor, who I really liked as an actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman. I think he was one of the American greats. The best movie ever did was Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Ethan Hawke, Albert Finney, directed by Sidney Lumet. You got to see the movie. But in that movie, Philip Seymour Hoffman was found with a needle in his arm in the West Village with 50 packets of heroin in the apartment, no less, plays a real estate broker who's out of money and he plans a crime. But in one of the scenes, he goes to a high-rise, a very expensive, upscale, mid-Manhattan high-rise, doorman, and he goes in and he gets shot up with heroin and then puts a suit back on and goes back to work. I said, this looks too real. I never heard of anything like this. I didn't know that. So there's three, four topics in the air on the program all at once. And in case you missed the cute ad, it was aired during the Super Bowl. And it opened with a real American, quote-unquote, in a pickup truck. They know what they were doing. Didn't open. Did it open with someone in a headscarf? No, it opened with what you would consider to be a stereotypical American, a rancher with a pickup truck on an open ranch. Didn't open with a guy bathing in the Ganges River and then show the guy in the pickup truck, did it? So they sucked you in with This Is America, and the next thing you know, they slap you in the face saying, well, it's not really America. I know that a lot of people come to America from different countries, and they come here speaking different languages, and now they're here. And they love their nation, they love their language, and so do I. So what's the big deal if they sang a line or two in those languages? What's the big deal? There's an awful big deal, my friends. It's a further attempt to debase our sovereignty and our borders, language, and culture. And the only proof I have for this, otherwise it's just argument and rhetoric, here's proof that even Woody Allen will have trouble digesting. Now, Woody Allen would be the typical Upper East Side liberal who hates America. He's even said it. Yeah, about a year ago, 2 years ago, Woody Allen said, I wish that there was a dictatorship where we could just get what we wanted done. You don't know how far left these actors are. I enjoy their performances. I love some of their products and their productions. There's great genius in them. But if you actually analyzed how psychotically anti-American they are, your hair would stand up. If you actually heard Martin Scorsese or Robert De Niro or Woody Allen, I would imagine, in a room together, talking about this nation, you'd be appalled. You wouldn't believe one of the roles they play or one of the movies they direct. You'd say, this can't be. How could a tough guy like Robert De Niro, a certifiably tough kid, tough man, great actor from the Little Italy in Manhattan, grow up to hate this country so much with his rhetoric? How? But you have to listen to what they actually say politically. They hide it, but it seeps out. Now I'll talk to them directly, because I know I'm heard in areas where they might be. And they've all heard of me, and they say, well, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Do we know him? No, you don't know me. No, you don't know me. You never heard of me. I've only been on the air 20 years. I'm an overnight success to abuse the Jackie Mason joke. For 20 years, I worked in toilets. Now suddenly you know me. So I'm an overnight success. Right. I've written 28 books. I have a PhD from the University of California. 2 master's degrees. That's who I am. But the fact of the matter is, let me give you something, all of you actors who think you're smarter than everybody else. Here's something that even you can understand. Why am I and so many millions of Americans offended by the Coca-Cola ad in so many languages? Let me make it simple. If it was played in China, the ad, and it was sung in Mandarin, for example, and then in the middle of Mandarin they broke into Korean, Tagalog, Japanese, and Arabic, the Chinese would burn the factory to the ground. They would break into the studio. They wouldn't take it. Why? They're all stupid all of a sudden. I thought you loved China. I thought you looked up to Mao Zedong. Let me try another country to see if you can get it that way. Let's pick another country you look up to. India. We all love India. We all love Indian food. We all love Mahatma Gandhi. We all love the Ganges River. We all love curry. We all love everything about India. No one ever said anything negative about India that I know of, other than the people in Pakistan. But the fact of the matter is, I love India. I respect the Indian people because they come here in about 3 months, they win spelling bees. How's that possible? How can they win a spelling bee in English? Because they're one of the smartest people on the planet. And they have a strong family structure. And they love education. See, not all immigrant groups are like the Indians. I only wish they were. But if you were to go to India, and let's say they had a national sport in India, I don't quite know what it might be. As I said, I know the national sport of Japan is sumo wrestling. I don't even know if there's a national sport in India. I don't really know what it is. I don't want to just throw an offhanded jape at the Indian culture. But let's say there's a national thing, whatever it may be. And during that sporting event, where the whole nation was watching, they start by singing it, the Coca-Cola ad in Hindi. And all of a sudden they break into Arabic, Urdu, Korean, Japanese, Russian, and English. Do you think the people in India would take it? Oh, I don't think so. So that's something even Robert De Niro could understand. So now all of a sudden, what, you're going to put down people in India as being xenophobic and nativist? See, you can't have it both ways. Most American people love America. Most Americans love the language of the land. They love their borders, language, and culture. It's that simple, and so should you. Then your movies might sell again, and you wouldn't have to make yourself into a clown to sell yourself in a movie. You could actually play a hero again. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. To paraphrase George Bernard Shaw, never wrestle with a pig. You always get dirty, and besides, the pig likes it. That's for those of you who heard the opening monologue of my show and how there are some in the media who are trying to defame me with allegations created by George Soros' Media Matters, and they pose as conservatives. There's no defense of this. I will defend my family name, whether it's on the radio or in a courtroom. No one's going to take down what I built up. Okay, it's that simple. Now let's go to the calls. WJR, Chris, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? Hey, good. I just started listening to you about a week ago, and you are phenomenal. I listen to Hannity with Ritually, and I'm done with him. I'm glad you took over his spot.
Well, look, there's a place for him somewhere in America. It's just not on radio. He's a good-looking guy, belongs on television, and he has all of the attributes of a politician, which is why he should run for office. Hannity has all the attributes of a politician: shallowness, meanness, vanity, and greed.
Yeah.
You just won a prize, by the way. You don't know it. You won a $50 prize. Did you know that?
No, I never win anything.
You just won a prize, a Happy Valentine's prize I'm giving out to the best callers, you know, intermittently. You're getting $50 worth of these delicious chocolate-covered strawberries from Shari's Berries, so stay on the line. You know, I told you, I don't eat chocolate. I'm not a sweets eater, but I had to try it because they're a sponsor. I couldn't believe it. It was frightening. What a moment that was. So go to berries.com, click the mic, and type in Savage, not Vanity. Go to berries.com, click the mic, and type in Savage, and you'll get 40% off through Thursday. Come on, go for it already. I can't believe it. They're going to get a $50 gift. Prizes valued at $50 each. Gee, it's a big deal. All right, that's it. There are free things in the world. Chris on WJR just won it. You just won it. What time is it already? It's 25 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. We can move on from the Coca-Cola ad, but there's a lot of people calling. They're fuming over this. I mean, the song America the Beautiful features the patriotic song sung in eight languages. Shows two dads roller skating with their daughter. That's the new America? No, not good. Katie Bain, president of Coca-Cola North America, said, "We hope the ad gets people talking and thinking about what it means to be proud to be an American." Katie, we are talking. Unfortunately, it's not the result you expected, but this is a product of all your brainwashing, all the years in the universities that have brainwashed you into diversity. Let me explain something about diversity, Katie. The word diversity is related to the word diverse, which is related to the root word diverge. Diverge from. Diverge from what? Well, you need something to diverge from. You need something to be diverse about. So the core of that concept of diversity is that there's a central core to it all. That central core is America. And that central core of America is its borders, language, and culture, Katie. So at a certain point, if you keep pushing diversity, there's no central core. It is absorbed. And instead of the cultures coming here and being melted into a dominant culture, they try to melt the common core, and they melt it down like Chernobyl. Let me tell you something. We don't want our common core melted down like Chernobyl. We don't want a meltdown of our national identity, Katie. We don't want a meltdown of our sovereignty, Katie. We don't want a meltdown of our borders, language, and culture, Katie. Put that into your corporate discussion points, Katie. You're listening to Michael Savage, heard on 200 stations, including the best in the country. I hope you play it at a board meeting of Coca-Cola with the ad agency when you fire them. And tell them to go get it. Take their campaign to China and see if they can do the same thing there. 855-407-282 is the phone number. It's the Savage Nation. Let's take some calls. WJR, Greg, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I was just absolutely appalled at that commercial. I sat there and listened to it, with several family members, and the instant I heard a foreign language singing that song, I couldn't believe it, and I made the comment that that is just unacceptable. Several women looked at me and couldn't believe that I was saying that. And
Wait, you mean people in your family?
Yes, extended family, in-laws, such and such. Yes, they thought it was cute, and I cannot believe that they are singing that in a foreign language. Couldn't believe it.
But your family members thought it was perfectly fine.
There was a couple of them, mostly the women, that thought it was cute and cutesy.
Well, yeah, that's why men have traditionally gone to war, not women. Men don't take attacks upon their sovereignty as something cute. Men don't generally give away their nation to a foreign invading force. That's why men have gone to war since the beginning of time, and women have stayed home knitting.
Savage.
Folks have, again, had multiple hearings on this. I mean, these kinds of things keep on surfacing, in part because you and your TV station will promote them. When you actually look at the stuff, there have been multiple hearings on it. What happened here was a 501c4 law that people think is confusing, no, that the folks did not know how to implement. There were some boneheaded decisions, not even mass corruption, not even a smidgen of corruption.
Even a smidgen of corruption, the most corrupt presidency in modern times. Not even a smidgen of the IRS targeting conservatives. No, it all happened by accident. Sure. Yeah, sure. Good job, Bill. No, Bill tried his best. I'm not going to knock Bill. Bill did the right thing. What, I have to knock him just because I'm not on television? I think O'Reilly did a good job. Nobody could have done better than Bill O'Reilly. He tried his best. But you got to remember how smooth and slick Obama is. You thought there was Slick Willie, huh? You thought that Bill was slick. You never saw anything like it. This guy makes Bill Clinton look klutzy. That's how good Obama is with the rhetoric. He is the ultimate. How do you think he became president? Because he's a bad speech maker? Because he can't handle himself? You're wrong. I told you, never underestimate how brilliant this man is. Never underestimate how smart he is. Never. You can run him down all you want, but you do it at your own risk. Not a smidgen of corruption in the IRS targeting conservative groups. No, not at all. And there's been multiple hearings. Yeah, but done by stooges. Stalinist hearings. His own people looked into it, right? Anyway, the big topic really, because you can't do anything about that. The Super Bowl Coca-Cola ad is a big topic. The actor's heroin overdose we haven't done. The Woody Allen, play for a little relief. The perv, I mean Woody Allen in clips 26 now.
And I got very emotionally involved with the painting, you know, and two gods had to restrain me. Tried to lick some of the oil off the canvas. Thinking to myself, at that time, where is it that I could meet the kind of girl that would pose for that type picture? And in my neighborhood, there's an art supply shop that deals in...
All right, we get the picture. That's, you know, you look back on some of his movies, they're funny, they're smart, they're brilliant. Everyone is a young girl in it. Over the weekend, I happened to stumble upon a Woody Allen movie, Crimes and Misdemeanors. Actually, it's quite a brilliant movie. Funny as heck. I mean, don't take away from the devil the devils do. The guy is stone genius funny. If you like Step and Fetch It views of Jewish people, he's the best. For those of you who don't know who Step and Fetch It is. I'll tell you that in a minute, but that requires a little, you know, filmographic history here. The fact is that in that movie, I was shocked. 2-3 scenes with young girls with pizza or ice cream cones in their hand, holding his hand. I said, uh-oh, Harry B. Mayer, Harry B. Mayer. That's what I thought. Now, he denies it, and we have to assume innocence. Just because she's never had her day in court doesn't mean that she's telling the truth. You know, that's that. So 855-47282 is the phone number. I want to go on to Philip Seymour Hoffman for a minute, those of you who are movie lovers. He's actually was an American, a great American actor, my favorite. I put him in the top five. And the best movie for me is the Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, directed by Sidney Lumet. It starred Ethan Hawke, who's one of my top actors. I liked Ethan Hawke, I still do, because he plays vulnerable, little, slightly crazy, neurotic guys. And he does it like no one else. But Albert Finney was in it as the father. Unbelievable. And the plot of this movie, which was little known, it didn't do that well because it's too intelligent. 2007, before The Devil Knows You're Dead, with the actor who was found with the spike in his arm in the Greenwich Village apartment. It's about two brothers who organized the robbery of their parents' jewelry store in Westchester. They think it'll just be an easy robbery. He'll get the money and no one will hurt anybody. The job goes horribly wrong. It triggers a series of events that sends them, their father, and one brother's wife hurtling towards a shattering climax. It's an amazing film. I highly recommend it. But the point is, Philip Seymour Hoffman, in that movie, plays a real estate agent who's out of money. He has a wife. I forget her. She was incredible in the movie. Let me see full cast and crew on IMDb. Who's the wife? Oh, Marisa Tomei. Unbelievable. She's a great actress, by the way. She plays the wife. So he's trying to please her with money and taking trips to the Caribbean. So they arrange the heist of the parents' jewelry store. Goes bad, blah, blah, blah. But in this movie, the Philip Seymour Hoffman character, Andy, is a heroin addict. He goes up to this, you know, expensive high-rise in Midtown Manhattan. Doorman, the elevator. You know, I'm not talking Needle Park here. And he goes into the apartment run by, like, a gay guy in a toga, which was very risque, by the way, to show a gay guy in a negative role by Sidney Lumet. I was surprised he got away with it in 2007. But he's the dealer. Comes in the apartment. The guy's very flippant. Perfectly played, by the way. I don't know who did his. He was incredible as well. And he fixes him on the bed, shoots him up, and Philip Seymour Hoffman lies there. I looked at me like he was. I said, wow, this is realistic. I bet there are places like that in Manhattan and everywhere else. I didn't know that. How would I know? You know, I'm just a guy with a dog and a microphone. And lays there on the bed, and there's another guy, and goes up to get shot up to another middle-class, fat American man. I said, this is what's going on, probably. Hello? This kind of shooting gallery. Who knew that? And nevertheless, the Brian F. O'Brien plays Bobby, the guy who actually does the robbery. Phenomenal. He's another one. Great Irish actor. Irish-American, probably. The point is it was like Philip Seymour Hoffman was screaming out then, saying, stop me. 855-407-282. That's a movie. Or watch the movie, that's all. Before The Devil Knows You're Dead. You know, it's always sad when someone shoots up and dies, and you can't make a joke about it. What are you going to say? You're glad he's dead? He got what he deserved? It's not the way you look at a tragedy like this. He was a heroin addict, and he died. That's all. And you have to be sensitive to the fact that there are people who are addicts. That's all. It's a big nation, a lot of addiction. Every show I turn on is an ad for rehab. I'm the only person that I know of who never went into rehab for anything. Or I'm never in recovery. I remember once I was at a party in 1989 in Tiburon, California, and I was drinking, as I still do, a couple of drinks a night. And there was a very famous radical American Indian at the party. I'm not going to mention his name, a really tough dude. He and I got along great. So I said, you want a drink? He said, no. What do you say? Not recovery. He says, what do you say when you're not drinking anymore? I don't know, whatever. Not in recovery. I gave it up or whatever. What do people say with drinking and they don't drink anymore? Not in recovery. Not on the wagon. There's another phrase that people used to use. Not on in recovery. Something else like, I don't know the word. I said, I'm the only one I know from my time who's never had to give it up. I mean, I'm not an alcoholic. In other words, I have one or two drinks. That's all I want. You know the difference between an alcoholic and a non-alcoholic amongst drinkers? A non-alcoholic drinker is someone who has feedback mechanism, meaning after a certain number of drinks, like one or two, depending upon the night, the body will say enough and you don't want it anymore. The taste changes. I stop drinking. Some nights I can't take even a sip of a beer. I spit it out. I swear to God, another night I could have two, three drinks. The thing is, an alcoholic has no such feedback mechanism. It actually does have a chemical basis for alcoholics. You should understand that as well and have a little sympathy for them. But the fact is, there are people who just can't touch the stuff. It's that simple. So you have to have compassion for people who are addicts. It's that simple. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Is that the number that I ring? No, it's the wrong number. It's 855. It is the right number. I've been doing it a year and 4 months now. 855-400-SAVAGE. If you get onto the Savage Nation, you will reach more people than you've met in your entire life. It's that simple. A lot of people get scared. You shouldn't get scared when you get on radio. And I know some brave people who have no public speaking ability. They go, I'm in the hangar. It's very nerve-wracking. I know it's nerve-wracking to get on the radio. You know, you want to say something. Your wife eggs you on. Go ahead, call them up. Get on, Manny.
I'm a little...
I understand it. But the way to focus that fear is to remember this. Just remember you're speaking to a few million people, that's all. Think of the Yankee Stadium on steroids, and you're speaking to them. It's nothing to be afraid of. I do it every day. Every day. Every day, day in and day out. And you have to do it as though you're alone in a room with a single person. Make believe you're talking to a friend, family member, Uncle Joe, the uncle you never had. That's me. That's me. WABC, Harvey, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Harvey?
Michael, I hear him every day knocking you. I'm talking about that other ABC host. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention his name.
Yeah, you don't have to mention. He's despicable. Did you know he was a government lawyer, and now he pretends to be anti-government? How does he get away with this charade? I don't understand it. And God bless him. He's entitled to do what he wants. There's a big day part to fill. But if the best they can do is to try to denigrate my work, all those years that I sacrificed for myself and my family, they're not going to get too far. My work stands on its own. You understand that, Harvey?
Michael, I feel that his future at ABC is not long. I hope so. He talks about you, about your spaghetti sauce, about your family history. That's bull. Can he talk about anything else? But
no, well, isn't it sad that a man who poses as a conservative would spend his days fuming, using lies created by Media Matters, funded by George Soros? What does that tell you about him and his friend Hannity?
This guy is no good, I'm telling you. He's trying to emulate Bob Grant. That's what he does. But he'll never show.
Yeah, right. Put someone down, put someone up so he can make believe he's not putting me down. Let me give you the facts, Harvey. For years, I toiled as an ethnobotanist in the jungles of Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, and the Marquesas. My collections are in 6 different museums around the world. No one can take that away from me, Harvey. Why would anyone want to ridicule something like that?
I don't understand.
Why would anyone want to ridicule the fact that my collections are in 6 museums around the world? What's the joke about that? I didn't go into real estate. I didn't make money doing it. I lost money. I had to fund my own research for all those years. And my family had to suffer as a result because I really believed in what I was doing. But the point is I went on the internet last night to look up some of my early publications, Harvey, since you brought it up. My little publication of 28 pages published in 1971 called Ethnomedicine in Tonga is for sale for $1,250 because I signed it. Would you believe it?
I would love to buy it.
No, I'm not selling anything. It says stapled lettered wrappers, 28 pages, and off-print for economic botany. By the way, Harvard University published that master's degree in its entirety. A smidgen soiled and slightly bunched at bottom spine edge inscribed March 16, 1974 for Erwin Kruger from me, rare, bookseller inventory and blah, 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 $1,250. So if just because I signed it, it's worth $1,250, could you imagine what one of my books is going to be worth in 20 years if you buy it now? Now, I wonder if any of Hannity's books from 1971 are worth that. I wonder what his signature's worth 20 years later.
You know what my grandmother would call this lemon, a meshuggah and a hunt? You know what?
I'm sure he's going to love that one, Harvey. No, you know what my grandmother would say? What a shanda that a man with such an education would waste it like this going into the gutter. But again, it's my reputation and my name that he's trying to destroy. Let him try to attack my talent, which he has none of. He sounds like Fredo in The Godfather. I'm smart! I can do it!
Send Fredo off to do this, send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things, I'm smart! Not like everybody says! Like, dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect!
So what does it tell you about a guy who poses as a conservative lover of George Washington, who takes a smear created by Media Matters, funded by George Soros, and runs with it as a conservative? If he doesn't understand that the people will soon find out where this came from, he better understand it fast. But to paraphrase George Bernard Shaw, Mr. Lawyer, never, never wrestle with a pig. You always get dirty, and besides, the pig loves it. So I'm not going to wrestle with these lowlives, Harvey. They're desecrating themselves, not me. But I'm going to defend my family's name, no matter what it takes, Harvey.
Please do. I just bought Train Tracks for my Kindle. I love it. I'm enjoying it so much.
Well, maybe Hannity can arrange a book burning at one of his next tours. He can burn some of my earlier works as an ethnobotanist.
Maybe he should buy some of your stuff.
You know what Hannity is like? He poses as a tough guy and as a uh, as a real American, you know, Joe Sixpack. I got to tell you something. I didn't intend to get into it. I'm not having my name besmirched by these two lowlifes. I'm going to defend my family name. I have a wife. I have children. They're not going to destroy my name. I'm going to ruin them if they keep this up, because they're only ruining themselves. I worked for so many years building up my name, and if they think they're going to pull it down using Media Matters smears, they got another guest coming for them. I have my lawyer on tomorrow. Dan Horowitz is going to talk about the First Amendment and a little something about old Hannity and his youth and what his homophobia is all about, where it comes from. People are not going to be too happy to find out that their Joe Sixpack hero is nothing but a schoolyard bully. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now a lady, there's a knock on my door, and standing there is this fabulous woman, but really sensational. And I let her in quickly, you know, and I locked the door with my police lock immediately. And I said to her, take off your clothes right away, because I don't know much about art.
An open letter from Dylan Farrow. Dylan Farrow, who says she was molested by Alan repeatedly when she was his child. And he denies it, to be fair. We don't know what happened. I wasn't there. The prosecutor at the time said there was enough evidence to prosecute him, but he didn't do so. And she opens the letter to the editor in the New York Times saying, what's your favorite Woody Allen movie? Before you answer, you should know, when I was 7 years old, Woody Allen took me by the hand and led me into a dim closet-like attic on the second floor of our house. He told me to lay on my stomach and play with my brother's electric train set. Then he sexually assaulted me. He talked to me while he did it, whispering that I was a good girl, that this was our secret, promising that we'd go to Paris and I'd be a star in his movies. I remember staring at that toy train, focusing on it as it traveled in its circle around the attic. To this day, I find it difficult to look at toy trains, she wrote. For as long as I can remember, my father had been doing things to me that I didn't like. I didn't like how often he would take me away from my mom, siblings, and friends to be alone with him. I didn't like it when he would stick his thumb in my mouth. I didn't like it when I had to get in bed with him under the sheets when he was in his underwear. I didn't like it when he would place his head. I don't want to read anymore. And she's nauseated by the fact that he's worshipped by his fellow travelers in Hollywood, all of whom are far-left fanatics, and she calls them out. And she says to them, what would have been your child, Clay Blanchett, Louis C.K., whose real name is Louis Seckley, Alec Baldwin? What if it had been you, Emma Stone, or you, Scarlett Johansson? She said, you knew me when I was a little girl, Diane Keaton. Have you forgotten me? Woody Allen denies it all. But that's the world according to me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome to hour number three. The big topic of the day, for those of you who remember such things, is the fact that during the Super Bowl, a Coca-Cola company chose to put an ad for their product in many languages, went from English to Spanish, Tagalog, Hindi, and Arabic. You say, well, so what? We live in a multicultural world. The answer is, hold on a minute. America is part of the world, but this is a melting pot, and immigrants are supposed to become part of this culture. We're not supposed to be melted down by any immigrant group, and that's what's been forgotten. And not everyone who's offended by this or has been offended by the Super Bowl ad, and by the way, the Facebook page of Coca-Cola is swamped with angry emails. They can't all be xenophobes. Not everyone who feels they love America and is offended by it is a xenophobe. Play the song for those who don't know what it is, just quickly. I'll cut into it.
Beautiful for spacious skies.
Por tus olas de granos tan verdes.
Saya Baba, very good. So the Coca-Cola Super Bowl ad stirs controversy with multilingual singing of America the Beautiful. And the hot seat is now theirs. The official Facebook page is now inundated with comments after the spot appeared during Super Bowl. Although some knee-jerk liberals showed support for the diversity in the ad, many others expressed displeasure. Facebook page is saying they're throwing away all our Coca-Cola products and replacing them. Others saying that they're throwing away the stock. They're throwing away Coca-Cola stock. And here's a user who wrote this. It's not bigotry to demand that we have a unified language in the United States. If we do not have that, we are no better than the third world cesspool dwellers that refuse to lift themselves up. The language is what helps us to get along. Having many languages just keeps people separated into different communities rather than becoming one nation. This ad was put out to make self-hating white people feel good, wrote a customer. So there are other statements I'm not going to read on the show, but it's a very big story. And the ad agency should be fired because they didn't do Coca-Cola any good. It's not about controversy selling product. This is controversy that's going to create boycotts. I'll take your calls on this topic and others right here on the Savage Nation. Greg on KSFO, thanks for calling. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for the show. I just wanted to say it's kind of funny to me to listen to you have this conversation because about Coke. Because, you know, say 40 years ago, being a Jewish man, you know, you're an accessible, you know, guy now, and, you know, it's an amazing show that you run. But 40 years ago, it would have never happened.
Wait, 40 years ago, a Jewish guy couldn't have made it in the media? Well, you mean you never heard of Jack Benny? Come on, be realistic. You never heard of all the Jewish comedians who became huge stars in the 50s?
Right.
Phil Silvers, I can name them, Jerry Lewis, Phil Silvers, Jack Benny, many others. They were Jewish. It didn't stop them from becoming popular. I don't know what your point is.
I'm just saying that in other parts of this country, 40 years ago, being a Jewish man was a hard thing to be. I'm just saying that, you know, it's great that, you know, somebody who's a Jewish man now is protecting America's cultural identity, and it's the same with me. I'm interracial, and, hey, it was hard being, you know, interracial 40 years ago, and this is just, my point is that how America...
I understand, but being interracial doesn't mean that you have to be multicultural in your identity as a person. The nation doesn't have to assume a multicultural identity. The unity of the nation is what keeps the nation whole.
I understand that, but I'm just saying...
Greg, but listen to me. Don't you agree that a nation needs some commonalities in order to even be held together? I mean, do you agree with that or not?
I do in some sense, but then, you know, yesterday I went to IKEA and Palo Alto, and you know what? I probably saw three white guys, and the rest was Indians and Asians and everything else.
Right, and why did they come here? Did they come here because they wanted to bring India with them? Or did they come here because they had a land of opportunity, not created by their ancestors, but by others?
Probably people like...
It's a naked statement. It's pretty blunt. Did they come from India because they wanted a greater opportunity for their children? Or did they want their children to have a less of an opportunity? And by the way, who created the nation? It was not created by Hindus, and God bless them. It was created by Christians, incidentally.
I understand that, Michael, but my point is...
All right, so there's a cultural and a national identity. And there's only a limit to how far people can go in denigrating it. It doesn't mean there's no room for others. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. A melting pot requires that the cultures that come in assimilate, that they become part of the pot, not melt the pot down.
They were saying, you know what? White is white.
All right, thanks for Jack Benny. I used to love Jack Benny and Milton Berle. See, there was an attempt to put me on the defensive, and he actually meant well, and he was trying to put it in context. He was not right, though. Borders, language, and culture. How did you feel listening to that ad? I was cooking and watching the show. As I said to you, I didn't plan on it, but I watched the Super Bowl. I had to. And because I watched it, it was the most watched Super Bowl in history, 111 million people. No, I single-handedly boosted it over the top. You have to watch the Super Bowl, because I'm sure the NSA is monitoring our TV preferences, and any American who didn't watch the Super Bowl is probably on a new watch list as some subversive of some kind. There's no question about that. So I watched it because I was afraid of the NSA finding out I didn't, you know, watch the Super Bowl. I thought I would be a communist or something. Actually, the opposite. I'd probably be a patriot. So nevertheless, I watched it, cooking this, that, the sausage. This, I made a real heavy cholesterol-rich lunch. Here's some fodder for the lawyer. I did. I made a very heavy lunch. I made I made 1 pound of chopped meat. Oh, did I spice it to death. And I got some sausage. Forget about it. I got spicy Italian sausage for the sauce. It was so good, it was frightening. So I don't eat a lot of meat. When I bit into that sausage, I mean, I cooked it so good, it was like a little burnt on the outside. I took a bite into it, I almost fainted. That's one thing about depriving yourself of cholesterol-rich foods. When you finally have them, there's like an almost overload of sensory pleasure. You almost faint. I couldn't wait to get up today to bring it to lunch and reheat it in the microwave at the radio station. I have so much, I have so many lipids floating around in my serum right now. I hope I can get through this show. No, my LPA is very low. That's the lucky thing. I don't take any anti-cholesterol drugs, none. I've been on massive doses of vitamin C, vitamin E. I'll tell you all of the, I've written about this for so many years. And I'm lucky. Terrible HDL and LDL, upside down. I'm a candidate immediately for death. I mean, if you look at my cholesterol, you know, my lipids, upside down, the wrong LDL and the wrong HDL. Everything is backwards. Terrible high triglycerides. I'm on no medication whatsoever. I take a baby aspirin every other night. I take loads and loads of garlic and other herbs and nutrient. But the main thing is I inherited the good gene from my mother. My father died young. My grandfather died young. God rest their soul. They had no choice. I have low LPA. You can't correct that. I finally found out what it was. It was genetics in my, I don't know, maybe all these years, 40, 50 years of taking vitamin C. My serum is floating in ascorbic acid. I have ascorbate coming out of my ear hairs. If you were to do a hair analysis of my ear hair, you'd find ascorbate levels that you couldn't believe. Oh, there's so much truth out there that it's, you know, it's the Savage Day. I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying myself today. Monday is always good for me. Monday is good. Friday is good. Tuesday, I want to, like, crawl into a bed and not come out of it. Tuesday's my hardest day on radio. I used to call it Chicken Curry Tuesday. But I don't go to the city much anymore. I don't even eat the curry, so I don't know what to do. But the thing is, Monday's easy. With what goes on in the media over the weekend and the sports and the entertainment and the heroin and the Woody Allen and the Super Bowl and the Coca-Cola. I mean, it's an easy day for radio. You got to be nuts not to enjoy radio on a day like today. Tuesday already, I know what's coming. No matter how good I feel today, tomorrow I crash. They used to call it manic depressive. Today they call it bipolar. You know, every generation has another name for it. But I don't medicate it. I float with it. Every time I go into a deep depression in my entire life, what I've done with it is I suffer through it and then I write something. I squeeze it out of my brain. I feel the pain and I write through it. How do you think I wrote 28 books? Earned 2 master's degrees and a great PhD. How? How did I do it? By not suppressing my feelings. I got to live with them. Which is why you've come to love the show, even though you hate my politics. I'm talking to all the liberals who are emotionally attached to me. I got people who've listened to me in the Bay Area in particular. For years, they can't stand me politically because they're all like left-wingers. But they relate to me emotionally and they can't stop listening. I'm like the brother they never had, the father, the uncle. These are the people who used to be in their family, guys like me. They disappeared from America. They got suppressed, ironed down, homogenized, pasteurized. They're gone. Gone with the wind. And I'm still here. And every impediment known to mankind was thrown before me when I began at radio. And I'm still here, thank God. That's all. So I'm giving you my point of view of the Coca-Cola ad, of the Woody Allen scandal, of the death of Philip Seymour Hoffman. You probably never expected I knew that much about his movies, but I'm a movie buff. I learn a lot from movies. You know, you think about, you ever watch the credits run on the end of a movie? You think they're all stupid? You can dismiss people very easily by saying, hey, all this, all that. I don't care what their politics are. If the movie is overly left-wing, I won't watch it. When I see all the credits, think of all the brains in that movie. So sometimes I'll watch a movie 3, 4, 5 times, as I did Before the Devil Knows You're Dead with Philip Seymour Hoffman, where he plays a heroin addict, a middle-aged heroin addict, a hidden one. So I'm just mentioning it. That's all. It's that simple. 855-407-282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And we're giving out, we've got to give out more. The freebies, the Valentine's Day for Shari's Berries. $50 free? Let me take a quick call and give away a free gift. Okay? KSFO, Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Yes, I got a couple things. First off, the national sport of India is field hockey, but they play a lot of cricket, and they won 8 gold medals in cricket.
All right, so let's say during a national cricket match, they played a Coca-Cola ad, and they began in Hindi, and then they went into Arabic and Urdu English and then Korean. The fans would burn the stadium down.
It looked like a Scottish soccer match with the hoodlums coming out of the stands.
That's right. All of the hoodlums would go berserk out there. I mean, they'd be teeth would be flying.
I went Borders Language Culture right here when I first saw it. I said, I got to try to get on to Dr. Savage.
Right. In other words, when you heard that singing, didn't it hit you as wrong immediately?
My gosh, when it switched, the first time it switched languages, I go, what are they doing here? I don't drink a lot of Coke, but I drank my last one. I drink a lot of beer.
Well, I'm gonna stay on till the bottom of the hour, so I'm glad I got you, because you win a free prize. $50 worth. $50 worth of Sherry's Berries, one of my great advertisers. Go to berries.com, click the microphone, and type in my name, Savage, not Vanity. Berries.com, click the microphone, and type in Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
First of all, we have voted over 40 times to either delay mandates, repeal health care reform, etc. And so when the president takes an action, then they're critical of the action that he took, even though they voted on that same action. You know, the other thing is that I frankly am happy when he does executive orders, because Paul Ryan said he's doing the work of Congress. Well, you know, that's because Congress isn't doing its job. So I encourage the president to continue doing executive orders. We're going to meet with him tomorrow as a caucus.
As an example of what happens when you have morons elected to Congress, no education, no sense of history. A woman is saying she's happy when Congress is overridden by a dictator. That's what she's saying. This is what happens when you have unqualified morons, whether they be pushed forward in colleges, universities, police departments, fire departments, Congress, even to the presidency. When you have people who have never earned it but were given it, this is what you get. And as far as the Coca-Cola thing goes, that's not going to go away. This is a melting pot. And most people came here legally, children of legal immigrants. And we are all sick of illegal foreigners receiving special privilege over legal citizens. We feel it is wrong. We're tired of it. And many of us thought Coca-Cola was as American as apple pie. And millions are saying no more. No more. Everyone was offended by this except those who don't even understand what nation they're living in. And by the way, Chrysler is now owned by a foreign company. If you don't know, oh, that's a big story. It was given away by Obama to his buddies in Italy. Let's leave it at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chrysler was given away by the Obama administration to his friends in Italy a long time ago. Those of you who like the Chrysler. So what's American? There's plenty of American choices. Plenty of American choices. Yeah, plenty. Des Moines, Iowa. KWQW. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to say that I think we're overreacting just a little bit to this. If America the Beautiful were actually the national anthem, I would have a problem with it. But it's not. It's just a beautiful song about America that happened to be done in a couple languages. And that's just kind of how I feel about it.
But why don't you feel that those who come here should learn your language?
Oh, I absolutely do. And I understand where most people are coming with their thoughts on this, but I think they're confusing America the Beautiful with the national anthem. And it's just not the same thing. I would be honest.
We understand it's not the same thing. Then why did they use a white man in a pickup truck to suck us into the American orientation of the Coca-Cola ad? They didn't start with a Hindi singing a Hare Krishna song. By the way, play that Hindi song that I always love, just for a little break now. I mean, if they had opened with this song, for example, I could understand your sentiments. I love the Indian people. Spent many years in the Fiji Islands. Got to know some Indian friends, Fijian friends. I used to love listening to Hindi singing on the radio at night. It was rainy nights. It was like Somerset Maugham in the book Rain, where the rain came down on the tin roofs the nights I was not out collecting. I didn't go out at night collecting. I used to sit there and drink gin or beer and listen to Hindi music. It was quite fun. I used to love Suva. Haven't been there since the revolution. How do they get the Fiji water out of that country without decimating the entire aquifer? Can anyone explain that to me? I mean, I drink this stuff. Is there no end to the aquifer? Is that Fijian aquifer going to end one day? Who sold off the water in Fiji? That's what I want to know. Is there no end, no bottom to the aquifer? That government went to the way of the dogs. I mean, they sold off their water for the poor people. It was bad enough what the missionaries did to them.
Savage.
So that's what your grandfather died for. That's what the veteran cemeteries are filled for. They're filled with the veterans who fought for America's borders, language, and culture, and take a look at what these multicultural slime are doing to our nation. In case you missed it, a cute ad was there, aired during the Super Bowl, some of the most expensive ads in the world. Lots of real Americans singing America the Beautiful in English, and then Spanish, Tagalog, Arabic, and Hindi. Now, we know a lot of people come to America from different countries, but this is supposed to be a melting pot where you become an American. This is not supposed to be you come here and tell me to live your way, your life. If you want me to become like you in Arabia, then stay where you came from. I'm not going to follow Sharia law, and I'm not going to let you impose it on me. And if you're going to let these multinational corporations weaken you, you're going to wind up in a headscarf, you idiot women. Do you have any idea what they're doing to your children in the schools? Okay, I made my point. 855-400-7282. That's one topic. There are others. Let's just look at the evolution of the cheerleader. Basically, it's a striptease for a massive audience. There's an interesting article on the evolution of cheerleading by Amy Graff and SF Gate, with pictures provided going back to the 1920s from a British author, Chris Wilde, who captured the evolution of cheerleading in a photo series on his blog, Retronaut, which I put on michaelsavage.com. But how did this begin? Men initially led fans in cheers. A University of Minnesota student named Johnny Campbell was the first ever cheerleader. In 1898, he picked up a megaphone and directed a crowd in cheering, rah, 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 ski you ma, hoorah, hoorah, varsity, varsity, Minnesota. Isn't that charming? Now, you'll notice I'm not talking about the purging of our military, the destruction of our health care system, the destruction of our country by Obama, because you don't want to hear that anymore. So we'll talk about cheerleaders. His catchy chant led the football team to victory, and modern-day cheerleading was born. In the 1920s, women picked up pom-poms. Cheerleading eventually became a female-dominated activity. Women wore long-pleated skirts falling well past the knee. Isn't that so retro? And started adding acrobatic stunts to their routines. The sexy outfits didn't arrive until the 1970s, according to British author Chris Wilde. Now, that, of course, follows the hippie revolution of drugs, sex, and rock and roll. That was a time when feminism was a strong force, and barriers for women in Western society were being dismantled, Wilde says. And over the years, as a result, NFL cheerleading outfits have only gotten skimpier. Cheerleading seems to have acted either positively or negatively as a pressure valve, letting women into the stadium and into the game, Wilde says, but keeping the difference between the men in their helmets and the women in their short skirts very, very clear. So I guess going forward 20 years, if we continue this arc, they'll be stripping naked in the middle of the field, and we'll consider that wholesome family fun. From men with megaphones to women with long skirts, from rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, to oh boy, if this wasn't a family show, would I throw a rhyme at you? It doesn't end with sister, can you spare a dime? I'm sorry. But you could see the evolution of our society even in the cheerleader. I'm not saying we should have men with sweaters and megaphones on the field. No. We don't want men with sweaters and megaphones. We want burlesque stars. We want strippers on the field. That's the new America. The raunchier, the better. The more offensive, the better. The more provocative, the better. The naughtier, the nicer. Let's see if I can use any more iambic pentameter. The nastier, I think I made my point. A Seattle Seahawks Seagulls cheerleader performs August 17, 2013. Photo, Otto Grule Jr., Getty Images. So now it's 2014. So let's see, we finished the arc by 20. What do they have to do in 2020 to keep your attention? And then what do they have to do in 2025 to keep your attention? And 2035 and 2045. Figure that one out. Don't call me on this. Please. What if I gave you a recipe for herbed chicken cutlets with a lemon garlic sauce and didn't talk politics? Would Home Depot then advertise on my show? Or what if I told you about Kate Upton gets a Super Bowl ring would General Motors then advertise on my show? See, they won't advertise now because conservatives apparently don't buy General Motors cars and they don't shop at Home Depot. They only advertise on liberal shows. What if I read you the companies that refuse to advertise not only on mine but any other conservative radio show? Would you believe it? Would you actually believe it? Stores you shop in? How many psychotic left-wingers can there be to shop at Home Depot? What, do they think conservatives don't shop at Home Depot? How is that possible? Well, what if I only talked about Giselle and Tom Brady's stunningly gorgeous Manhattan apartment, and we just did here a celebrity worship all day? Well, how about this story? Sorry, fellas, women who broke hearts by coming out as lesbians. Now, there's something that General Motors or Home Depot might like to advertise around. That's as pure as apple pie. See, if you talk about sexuality in that manner, about lesbians who broke men's hearts, or about chicken recipes, why, then that's safe. That's the new mom and apple pie. But if you talk about your fears about the nuclear command being decimated by Obama and why he would want to do that, you have to make certain that no ads for your company appear around the Michael Savage Show. Because the next thing you know, people who actually use your products are liable to thank you for advertising on the Michael Savage Show. Does that make sense to any of you? That's why I did the cheerleading. I thought I would normalize the show a little bit more, not focus too much on things that no one cares about. We're talking about a number of different topics, including, well, I have to repeat them again. Why is Obama purging the nuclear command? What does this man actually have to do until people recognize who he is? What more has to happen for them to wake up to who the man is and who the people around them are? I called him Obama the Destroyer and trickle-down tyranny. I don't think I was wrong. I said he's like a spoiled child who takes watches apart and then cannot put them back together again. Everything this man touches, he destroys. Whether it's the healthcare system, which was, with all its flaws and corruption, the finest in the whole world. He's destroyed it, or will destroy it by the time he's through. The military, it was the greatest military on earth. It's no longer the greatest military on earth. He is decimating it. But does the average person care about this? Or let's say you're sitting in a car somewhere. I mean, do you care about this or not? What do you care about? Cruz says that the amnesty will ruin the hopes of retaking the Senate. Cruz is a phony. I don't care what you think of me. I had a tape of Cruz saying he's in favor of more H-1B visas than anyone, and they rejected that law. What does that tell you about Mr. Cruz? He's exactly like the other guy I warned you about, who has now been basically sidelined because he was exposed as an amnesty pusher. And that would be none other than Marco Rubio. I don't trust Cruz. I know he's a darling of certain radio hosts who have built their shows around him. But if the man comes out for increased numbers of H-1B visas, what does that tell you about? Let's go now. Let's make some more friends and enemies today in the Savage Nation. I have more enemies in the conservative media than I do in the liberal media. Do you know that? In the liberal media, at least they ignore me. That's what Stalinists do. But in the conservative media, they actually attack me, because that's what Judenrats do. It is the Savage Nation. I've already given you several sound bites. And here's Obama talking about marijuana, doubling down on the fact that it's not bad for you. Where is this on Obama? Who cares what he says? Everything he says is propaganda. Oh, here it is, clip 10. Let's hear our great leader in clip 10.
I stand by my belief, based, I think, on the scientific evidence, that marijuana for casual users, individual users, is subject to abuse just like alcohol is, and should be treated as a public health problem and challenge.
We agree on that.
But as I said in the interview, my concern is when you end up having very heavy criminal penalties for individual users that have been applied unevenly, with a racial disparity.
Okay, there it is. Everything is through the lens of his race. Okay, stop. Everything Obama says is through the perverted and twisted lens of racism. This man cannot get up in the morning without looking and saying, what can I do today to turn the races against each other? He probably sits down to a breakfast of eggs. Well, no, I wouldn't think he would eat eggs. Probably a breakfast of cigarettes and coffee, and says, let's see, what can I do to stir the pot today and turn blacks against whites and whites against blacks? Let's see, marijuana, let's make that a racial issue, not a drug issue. Let's see what I can do today to disturb the American people another day. Okay, well, that's it. So everything he sees is through the lens of racism. It's worked for him. He became president on it. Wouldn't you keep doing the same thing if that's what got you where you are? If you were Barbara Boxer and you started by screaming about women, oppressed women, Medicare, Medicaid, and the environment as 20-some-odd thousand years later, and you're still getting away with it while laughing all the way to the bank, wouldn't you continue talking about oppressed women, Medicare, Medicaid, and the environment? If you were Obama and you were an unknown nobody and suddenly you decided to identify with one side of your racial composition rather than another, and all of a sudden the white people started to kowtow to you, and all of a sudden you saw them looking up to you and thought you were a leader because you were aping H. Rap Brown or whoever you were, and all of a sudden you started putting on the act, and you saw how far it got you, wouldn't you continue it, even though you're president? Why would you stop now? You think that he would mature in office? No, I don't think he's matured in office. But I don't want to turn this into strictly an Obama bashing show. It's too easy and boring at that. I talked about the purging of the nuclear officers. I don't care if you're a liberal or a conservative. You should be very worried indeed. Something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. If you're a liberal who's in the military, you should be very concerned indeed. And that's a shocking statement that I just made. You don't know this, but I know it. You would think that anyone in the military would be conservative. You're wrong. What you don't know is that most of them are liberals because they're interested in their pensions. The conservatives are usually found in the combat division of the military, which is the smallest percentage of people in the military. Those on the front lines are probably 99% conservative, patriots, believe in the America we believe in. The rest of them are fundamentally bureaucrats waiting to collect a pension or get a job afterwards with a contractor. And it's the same with the police, by the way. Those on the front lines of our cities see what liberalism has done to their ability to be peace officers. Those behind the desks who basically answer to the mayors of our corrupt, rotten liberal cities are usually diehard Democrat socialist liberals. You don't know that. I do. So don't assume that everyone in a uniform is a conservative. You're going to make a big mistake. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. First Super Bowl ad to feature a gay family, according to GLAAD, a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender media advocacy organization. Now, the inclusion of different languages sparked comments on Coca-Cola's Facebook page, calling the ad a disgrace and unpatriotic. People said, speak English or go home. Another one said, screwed up a beautiful song. No Coca-Cola for my family. Twitter also erupted with a barrage of criticism of the Coca-Cola ad. But many praised Coca-Cola for reflecting the country's diversity. Let me explain why this is not diversity. If you were to take a Coca-Cola ad in China and start to play it in, let us say, Mandarin in China to sell Coca-Cola to the people in China, and suddenly break into English for the Chinese national anthem, Tagalog, Arabic, you name it, the Chinese would burn the theater down. If you were to do this in Russia, if you were to do this in France, if you were to do this in any nation with a sense of its own history and destiny, the people would riot. They wouldn't tolerate it. But here, because we've been deballed and debased for so long by the illegitimate left, people didn't even realize what was going on during that Super Bowl. It got me sick. Now, remember what I just said to you. I am an immigrant son. I respect cultures and languages around the world. But I'm living in America. I'm an American. And I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired, and this has gone too far. Stop debasing our most fundamental institutions. Am I wrong or am I right? Here we come to the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation today, Monday, February 3rd, 2014, post-Super Bowl blues. Post-Super Bowl blues. Well, I'll tell you what got me was the Coca-Cola multicultural, multilingual ad. I didn't like it. First, it starts with an American farmer with an American pickup truck with the voiceover of America the Beautiful. It was very beautiful, patriotic, right? All of a sudden, it breaks to people singing America the Beautiful in other languages. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. America the Beautiful in Spanish, and then in Tagalog, and then in what, Cantonese? I'm sorry. This is a nation of borders, language, and culture. And I believe Coca-Cola did America a disservice, and the commercial upset you and me. That's what I think. Then there's a rather harrowing story in the New York Times from Dylan Farrow. In it, Farrow, the young lady, details the sexual abuse charges she leveled against old Woodhead Allen a few decades ago. It's very disturbing. She said that when she was seven, Woody Allen took her by the hand and led her into a dim closet-like attic on the second floor of her house. He told her to lay on her stomach and play with her brother's electric train set. Then he sexually assaulted her. She said it went over and over and over again. And by the way, if you look at Woody Allen's movies, especially the early ones, there's one scene after another with him holding the hand of a young girl eating an ice cream cone or a piece of pizza. You start to see a little pattern there. And so therefore, we don't know whether she's telling the truth or not, but it seems to me that someone really ought to look into this. De Blasio policies making city more dangerous. Go to michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. The Detroit police chief says armed citizens can make the city safer. Yay, police chief. Immigration reformers are talking down chances so opponents will drop their guard, meaning they want to slam it through. Remember who I had on the show Friday? A congressman who threatens to cut off all funds for the Obama executive orders. The soundbite is up on michaelsavage.com. Meanwhile, an Israeli official is blasting John Kerry as becoming a mouthpiece for anti-Semitism. He is. He's threatening them with a new intifada unless they divide their country up. That's old John Kerry, the peacenik from Massachusetts. Remember Adam Lanza, the school shooter in Connecticut, the lunatic with the crazy eyes? They blame guns. Did you know that Lanza had a movie depicting a man-boy love relationship on his own PC? He had a school shooting game on his PC? Yeah, you're not going to hear about that. He had a movie depicting a man-boy love relationship on his PC. What else did he have? He had a computer-animated game entitled School Shooting, where the player controls a character who enters a school and shoots at students. This is all part of an investigative report that is among the 1,000-plus pages comprising the state's attorney report on the shootings at Sandy Hook. Tell that to Obama the next time he wants to take away your Second Amendment. Well, there's an awful lot of news that you got to pay attention to, but let me tell you something. Before this train leaves the station, make sure you get those free Sherry's berries and that ProFlower stuff. You can only get them by going to berries.com or to proflowers.com. And if you love this show, you click on the microphone and you type in Savage. Now remember, every time you hear those train sounds on the train tracks, go and look at Michael Savage's semi-autobiography, Train Tracks, now available in paperback everywhere.
Savage.